Right. So, now we're on to our reading. We're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to be reading verses 1 to 12. If you have a church Bible, then that's page 168. But obviously it's on the overhead projector as well. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse 1. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now, these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters, as some of them did. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain, as some of them did, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall.
Amen. Thank you, Helen. So today, as we prepare now to come into the final part of our service this morning, and that's going to be the communion service itself, I just want us to contemplate this passage that we've just read and prepare our hearts for the communion. And when we talk about baptism, we're talking about three pictures that I want us to just look at very carefully this morning. The first picture we find in 1 Peter chapter 3. And Peter is talking about the picture of Noah and his ark. What we read there is that Noah, during that time, while the ark was being built, that there were a few who were saved. And it says in the Bible, in that passage, it says eight actually were saved. After all what was said, all the illustration of what the ark meant, this huge vessel and the warnings that were given, only eight entered the ark. Few were saved. But what is interesting is the next phrase, because it says, they were actually saved from the water. And in one or two translations, it says they were saved from the water by the water. And what does that mean, actually? Well, in verse 21, Peter explains it. He says it's a picture. The word he uses is antitype, which he says this is a picture which now saves. And the word is baptism. Baptism. And what he's saying is, the baptism, if you read that passage in Peter, he says, going into the water, we're not being baptized to remove the grime and the filth that goes onto us. If you go into London Bridge, like some of us went yesterday, and you go on the tube, or you go into the city on the bus or whatever, when you come home, you can see your shirt collar has got grime on it from the London smog, the London grime, really. And that's an example of why we need to go and have a bath and wash and get fresh again from all the grime of the day in a city that has so much air pollution and all the rest. But he's saying that's not what's being cleansed here. He's saying what's being cleansed is the inside. Your conscience is being cleansed in baptism. And it is so, he says, so you can have a clear conscience to Jesus Christ. Now, I want to ask you this question this morning with that picture. And I want you to ask yourself this question, and I want you to answer it honestly to yourself. Do you have a clear conscience about how you are living? About what you are saying to people? About how you are living in your personal and quiet life? Do you have a clear conscience about the times that you devote your life to Christ? Do you have a clear conscience that can be said you're living with a clear conscience unto Jesus? Because what baptism is about is it's about saying, when I go into that water, I'm talking about the baptism in my heart and my soul and my life. Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless you are born of the water, it's a London church, you never get this in Africa, these fire engines. If you are born of water and of the Spirit of God, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You cannot. Unless you are baptized in the Spirit of God. And what does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, we need to get this. We need to understand it, because some people will say you can be born again and then you can go and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But the Bible doesn't say that. What the Bible says is when you are born again, the Holy Spirit comes into you. You are there, brought into life spiritually. The Holy Spirit of God brings you into life. And so when you are born again, you are effectively baptized in the Holy Spirit and given a new life and a new conscience and a new heart. Anything after that is a blessing, is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and it can come in waves and times and in different places. That can happen. And you can call it a baptism if you want of the Holy Spirit. But actually, when you are baptized into Christ, into new life, when you are born again, the Holy Spirit quickens you and you have the Holy Spirit. That is what this means. You are saved by the Holy Spirit. You are baptized into Christ and you are given a fresh and a clean conscience. But now we all know we struggle. We all know that we crash and burn. We all know that until the day we die, we're going to be wrestling with temptation and we're going to be crashing and we're going to have good days and not so good days. We know that. But what we do know is this, that once we have been given a clear conscience, God will never let us go and our conscience will always bring us back to the cross. It will always bring us back to a place where we are washed, as it were, afresh through the grace of God. And that's the great hope. That's why communion is so important. The communion service is an opportunity to be washed, as it were, afresh as we participate. Well, why do I say that? Well, let's go to the next picture. The picture of Noah and the ark is the first one. The second picture is the picture that we read in 1 Corinthians that we've just read. The picture of being baptized into Moses. And what does that mean? Well, he's saying there in 1 Corinthians, he's saying all the forefathers, in other words, all of Israel, were taken from captivity to freedom. They weren't put in the promised land, but they were set free from the burden and the chains and the whips and the pain and the humiliation of slavery. They were set free from Egypt. And in the Red Sea, the cloud took them through. It led them. And then at some point when danger was coming up behind them, the cloud crossed over them and confused the Egyptians and brought darkness on the Egyptians. That's a lovely picture, actually, of what God does. God leads us as people, and those who come and seek to hurt and destroy and tear down, the cloud of confusion falls on them. The cloud of judgment falls on them so often. It sends them into darkness. But God's people continue in the light. Now that picture is a picture the Bible says in Corinthians, Paul, that it's a picture of baptism. You were baptized into Moses. Now in a sense, what he's saying is, there is something about being set free, going through the sea and the cloud passing over you. But this is the big story. This is the important thing we need to take with us from this story in Corinthians. It's this. He says, just like the fathers and our ancestors, in other words, Israel, crossed over, and we're talking about Israel of the heart, not Israel of the law, just as they crossed over, just as they did these things, then our forefathers were fed by what? All of them were fed by the same spiritual food. The New King James says by the same spiritual meat. But it does also say they all ate, there you go, the same spiritual food. And in a way, what he's talking about there is the figure that the real food, they were fed from heaven. The manna fell every day. You remember the story. And they had to get it before the sun came up. And they had to collect it and eat it fresh every morning. Fresh cereal every day from heaven. Spiritual food likened to spiritual food. Today, we've got to eat our spiritual food. We've got to get up before the sun shines if we follow that picture. And before we go out, before we set out in the day, we need to eat the spiritual food that God gives us every single day, just like they did. And the beauty about that was on Saturday, they had double food because on Sunday, well, their Sabbath was Saturday, but on the Lord's Day now, we can come and celebrate and receive blessing as well. And it never fell on the Sunday. It never fell on the Lord's Day, let's put it that way, on the Sabbath then and on the church New Sabbath on the Lord's Day. So one of the reasons and one of the things we learn about that is unless you are in nursing or being a doctor or called in an emergency service or a fire person, you should resist being called into work on the Lord's Day because they never had to go and collect and do the work of collection on the Sabbath. And so we should neither either. We should be able to, where possible, come in on the Lord's Day and receive blessing. But more importantly, what is he saying? What is it all about? We ate the same spiritual food. Here today, we are going from now to the table, and we are all going to eat the same spiritual food. We're going to eat the food of the table. We're going to eat the bread that represents the body of Christ, which was broken. We're going to eat that food in remembrance of what he did for us, so that we are reminded of the baptism we had into Christ. But not only will we eat the same spiritual food, we're going to actually drink the same spiritual drink. Topeka, come and help this guy settle, would you? We're going to drink the same spiritual drink. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take the wine. And when we drink the wine, we're going to be remembering that this is the spiritual drink of God's people. Just like they drank. And where did they get the water from to drink? The water was the rock of Christ. The water came from the rock. Remember, Moses struck the rock and the water came out. Well, in the same way, the water represents the water that came from Christ. For us, it represents the blood that flowed from the side of our Savior. So we're going to remember that this morning. We're going to drink of the wine that reminds us of the spiritual drink that God's people drink. So this is the picture of walking out of Egypt, being baptized by those through the sea and in the cloud. Okay, I'm going to need these guys to sit down. Sorry, Dee, can you take them out, please? Thank you. Just take them out right now. Go to the back there. Topeka will look after you, yeah? Okay, thank you. It's one of the things when we need to teach the youngsters when they're here. Okay, so let's just focus on that. So this is what we, let's get back to this. The water is the rock, comes from the rock. The rock is Christ. When the rock is struck, the water comes out. That symbolizes the blood that comes when the spear stabs the side of the Savior. Now, Jesus said, as often as you meet, drink of this in remembrance of me. Now, the wine that actually is the spiritual drink is from the rock which follows the church, which follows the people of Israel. That wine is exactly what we're going to be drinking of now. That wine is the spiritual drink that reminds us that Christ is following us. Okay, but here's the thing. Here is the thing. And this is what I want us to get as we go into this communion service this morning. He said, even though they ate the same spiritual food, and even though they drank the same spiritual drink, they did not live like God's people. That's what I need us to get this morning. Even though they came to the communion table and they ate the bread and they drank the wine, they did not live like God's people should have lived. And he's saying, because of that, three things happened in the people of God, in the people of Israel. He said this. He said, they lived in disobedience to God. They lived immorally. They lived lives that did not honor Christ. They lived sexually impure lives. He said, even though they had been baptized, they lived impure lives. Even though they ate the spiritual food and drank the spiritual drink, they lived wrong. Then he said this. He said, they also grumbled. They also grumbled against God. Even though they ate the right spiritual food and drank the right spiritual drink, they were a grumbling people. And then he said this, thirdly, he said, not only that, they ate the same spiritual food and they drank the same spiritual drink, but they actually tempted God himself. By tempting God, they said, God, I'm going to live like I want to live. I know that you are so gracious. I know that you are like Santa Claus, God. You don't discipline us. You will never discipline us. I'm going to live, and I'm not even going to fear the way I live. I'm not going to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. And I'm going to live just like I want to live, and I'm not going to care about anything. That's tempting God. And in each occasion, each situation, God responded with a heavy hand against his people. You see, what's happening out there, we prayed about it this morning, that's one thing. We want to shine a light into the world, into Caesar's territory. We want to give them guidance on what they should or shouldn't do. But that's Caesar. Let him get on with it. But what God is concerned about is the church. He's concerned about you and me and how we live. We are concerned about abortion, but we are pro-life in this church. We are concerned about gay marriage out there, but we are pro-Christian marriage in this church. God is concerned about what we are doing as his people, how we are living as his people. Are we living and walking with a clear conscience? And so when he talks about being baptized into Moses, we are to eat the same spiritual food. We are to drink the same spiritual drink from the side of Christ himself, reminding us of what he did. But we are also, and we've got to get this, we also to walk straight with a clear conscience. We cannot go and watch and play in immorality. We cannot anymore, at all, we should not be a grumbling and complaining church. I don't believe we are. I want to say this honestly. In all the years, in all the churches that we've been involved with on three different continents, Judy and I, I've never known a church of such community spirit, such encouragement, such support as East Hill Baptist Church. And I say that with all my heart. This is a precious church. But churches can move into a grumbling situation quite quickly if they're not careful. Forbid it, God. Forbid it. If anyone's got a grumbling heart or a grumbling spirit, get rid of it now. Say, I'm not going to be that person that grumbles. I'm not going to be that person that lives wrong. And most importantly, I will never be that person that tempts God. By grace, I will work out my salvation with fear and trembling before the living God. And when I eat of that spiritual food, and when I drink of that spiritual drink, it will be with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's do that. Let's take that word and let's practice that as we drink now. Let's make this a communion that takes us forward, as it were, through the baptism that we've been called to. I'm going to ask Richard to come up and Asilma if you'd come up at this time. Thank you.